right. There you go. Anchors away.
Only play that for special people.
Yes, it's true. And we do. Well, I'd say when you have an Admiral Mike Rogers in the studio with us, former director of National Security Agency and Central Security Services Chief, and a guy. And how many years in the Navy, sir?
37
years.
So I lived off the taxpayer for almost four decades.
That's right. Exactly.
Think of the implications of that.
Yeah. And we have a, I always like to point this out, that we do have a Marine who runs all of our audio and all the stuff.
Semper
for us.
Fi, young man. Yeah. Happy birthday. Yeah. Marine Corps birthday is coming up.
And that's true. That's true. 244 years of a continuous service to the United States.
Roger that.
Yes, and I always like to remind him that that stands for My Ass Rides in Navy Equipment. All right, let's talk about a couple things here. We brought you in to help work on the computers. I hope you don't mind, because that's what we put in the promo.
Yeah, I'm trying to log in for open enrollment. Could you help me with that after?
I'm here to help
the segment, because it's really infuriating.
This is what we do. Actually, you're here for a conference, and this is really, really interesting, because I think people now more than ever are aware of what we should have been aware of from the very, very beginning, when we started living our digital cyber world, and all of the information that we have in our life that we are so worried about. Like, you know, you get paper shredders, right? Because you're constantly trying to, you don't want to throw out a bill because somebody's going to come steal it and look at it. Everything you could possibly have, your computer or your phone knows it all, right?
Right. The archaeologists of the future are going to love this digital world that we live in, because there is a footprint that future generations are clearly going to be able to study and recreate for all of us.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm so worried about what the future generation will see, or the forensic pathologist, or whatever they are, but I'm worried about right now who can access my data, who can access the camera on my phone.
Which is a valid concern.
All these things like this. Should we be worried?
Well, clearly we're living in this, hyper-connected world where, for example, these devices we all use, our phones, our laptops, are all connected to the outside world in a way that's designed to create greater efficiency and a better user experience for us. But the flip side is, this connectivity can be exploited by others. And the reality is, hey, as the director of the National Security Agency, for example, we exploited that capability in the service of our nation against, those who would potentially do harm for us.
Those nations, we don't assume they're doing the same thing back to us, right?
Right. I mean, everybody is trying to use cyber as a tool to better understand the world around them. Some are just better at it than others. And then criminals view cyber as a massive revenue source, whether it's stealing information that they can sell, your social security number, your credit card number, or if it's using ransomware, which is a software designed to specifically lock down your data and your information so that, hey, look, you can no longer access it unless you pay me a ransom. This is extortion by another name. Mm-hmm. So cyber represents a whole lot of opportunity for a whole lot of entities out there, and a definite concern for all of us, not just in our business lives, but in our personal lives.
And big corporations have greater and greater every year budgets devoted to staying secure. And you've seen major data hacks and breaches. And some of it is, as you said, it's consumer fraud. It's trying to get credit card numbers and things like that. But there are bigger things at play here, too, right? It's like, Chicago, home to Boeing,
right.
Home to
United, CSX.
And one of the largest server farms in the world is here in Chicago. Not talked about very much. I guess I shouldn't have just mentioned it, but it is true. Thank you. Don't mention it.
Well,
Admiral,
done.
Admiral, I'll handle all this for you.
Any other secrets to get out there?
So, but I mean, it's important. These are the hacking of these corporations isn't just looking at the consumer stuff. It's either looking for military secrets or to interrupt, right? Because the whole idea here, I know from a defense department, from the Pentagon's perspective, is the first attacks in any country, whether it's us attacking someone else or the Russians or the Chinese or whoever it is to blind them, is to screw up the internet system.
Well, the way I would describe it is, look, cyber will be a component of any crisis or any conflict in the future. You've seen that play out for the last several years.
Yeah.
That's the new norm that we're living in. We just got to get used to this. And, this is not, we're not going to buy our way out of this problem. This is about how do we act in a smart, intelligent way, whether as individuals or as organizations. And how do we take prudent steps to attempt to try to mitigate risk to a more acceptable level? The idea that you're going to totally do away with risk, I think, is really unachievable. Or the price point, so to speak, to do it is not sustainable and it's not reasonable.
Okay. There are a lot of concerns, though, I think, that we have as we look at the geopolitical situation here. And if we have, let's assume that our two largest strategic issues here, our two largest strategic adversaries would be Russia and China.
Or potential adversaries.
Potential adversaries. And we are ceding a lot of that digital construction world to those countries, to companies that are coming out of those countries, right? You had Kaspersky Labs and coming out of Russia, or you had these guys who were putting stuff into the telephones from China. How concerned? I'm going to ask a question. We can come back on the other side and you can answer it. How concerned should we be about using foreign national software or equipment? We'll talk about that on the other side. Admiral Mike Rogers is with us, and he is going to be at this conference. I'll give you all the details about that. But first, let's check in with Lauren Lapka. She has her eyes on the skies and the rides. Admiral Mike Rogers is in the studio with us. It's an honor to have you,
yes,
sir.
Yes, it is.
He used to be the head of the National Security Agency. That's something right there. Mm-hmm. And
if I could, the commander of United States Cyber Command, which was my other big job.
Yes, and commander of the United
States. Because I have great respect for those men and women, and I want to shout out to them because they are working hard to help serve the nation.
So we'll talk about that in just a second because I think that's a fascinating thing. But let me just get to what we were talking about right before. Should Americans be concerned about where their software is coming from, their cybersecurity software specifically? You know, we talk about Kaspersky Labs, and there was some concern, obviously, you know, after the whole Russian event in the 15, 16, 17. Should we be concerned about that? Or, you know, Chinese product that's coming in here, that's more hardware than software, but where are you on that?
So my attitude always was, look, we need to take a risk-based approach here. I don't want to get into the simple, one is good and one is bad. In some areas where I think the impact of potential use of foreign components is a area that has little broad impact, either economically or from a broader national security impact. So there's some areas where I would say, hey, I'd be very comfortable. There are other areas where I would describe it as, are you comfortable with the idea that the product of an authoritarian state whose legal regime compels its commercial sector to provide whatever the government wants, whether it be Moscow or Beijing, are you comfortable with that in some areas? And the answer for me is I'm not comfortable with that in some areas. I'm not everywhere, but in some areas.
Okay. So somebody just for their own security, just as spamware or whatever, that's you're not uncomfortable with that?
Well, you all have to make a decision. For example, I'll only speak to myself. I make a conscious choice about what software and things do I use in my own personal life. Mm-hmm. I have made a decision in some areas. I'm not going to use some of those products.
How do you feel like safe ever getting on a telephone? That's what I want to know about you,
Admiral. What you know, I would be like, you have a flip phone or you have one of those burner phones? What do you do?
You're originally from Chicago. You know,
I am.
Politician in this town, when you see them and they get on their phone, they literally pull it out and they flip it open and it's rusty and it's like all banged up and it's sort of like, why you got that? Hey, don't ask. You know,
that's right. You got a flip phone and let me guess, you're like an AOL user, right?
don't knock AOL.
Rose got AOL. Okay, so you know,
and you still got the dial-up modem. Come on, make that sound for us, will you?
Oh my God. Gosh.
So let's talk about the national thing here in terms of the great economic potential for a collapse here could be, you know, through some sort of cyber attack, right? How concerned should we as Americans be about that? And what is the Cyber Command, as you were just mentioning?
Right.
What are they doing about this?
So let me do the second part first. Cyber Command, United States Cyber Command, one of 11 combatant commanders, senior most operational organizations in the DOD, three primary missions: defend the Department of Defense's networks, data systems, and platforms. Mm-hmm. Secondly, create and then employ the offensive cyber capabilities that the Department of Defense has. And thirdly, which really goes to your question, in the event of significant cyber incidents of consequence, to help defend the private sector. And so in that job, I spent a lot of time, you know, in New York, out in Silicon Valley, a couple times here in Chicago, trying to talk to the private sector about, so if you were attacked via cyber, mm-hmm, and it was of significant consequence, how would we partner together to try to defend you and stop that from actually having a significant impact? To go to the first part of your question. Hey,
so is that like a law enforcement initiative, sort of? I mean, could you look at Cyber Command as if like, say, Boeing or United or one of these big companies called you here, they're calling you as opposed to calling the 911.
Right. So that has happened a couple times. So generally, we're part of a broader government effort. So okay. if somebody came directly to us, to the Department of Defense, we would remind them, hey, we're not a law enforcement organization. And the Department of Homeland Security, for example, has mm-hmm. overall responsibility.
They would do the investigative piece. Right.
And so, Security. But a lot of times, our job was, we because we had deep technical expertise and we had capacity, we would often, so take Sony. It was the FBI and NSA in this case, 2014, mm-hmm. That provided capabilities to help Sony, sent you know teams out to California. But remember, Cyber Command is a part of the Department of Defense with the DOD's broader mission to defend the nation. We're not there to be the law enforcement investigative forensic with a view that we're going to charge people.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is we're trying to stop this from ever happening. We try to stop it from happening by, quite frankly, acting in the opponent's space, not in our own space. Law enforcement tends to operate in our own space.
Right.
As a DOD entity, our real focus is operating in the opponent's
space. They like to say we take the, where, with the war
and
there.
We take
so
it
they
to
don't
them, right.
What about
here.
5G? Can I ask you about that? Because
sure,
it seems
sure.
as if that's really China's owning that game in many ways. We supposedly have it in parts of Chicago, but I don't know that it's really, is it really reaching that 5G status? And then you still see that China is supplying some of the infrastructure, some of the parts needed. That leads over to that same discussion we were talking before
right.
about how do we get there? Is that the right thing? Because supposedly 5G is going to help us with the self-driving cars and the next
right.
generation of faster video and everything there at our fingertips.
So a couple thoughts there. Number one, 5G, we need to think about it as more than just, well, this is a better phone service. 5G will give us a level of capacity and capability to handheld digital devices as well as things like autonomous vehicles that will remove latency. So speed. It's able to move massive amounts of data at high rates of speed with great stability in multiple formats. So not only is it going to power a better phone experience, it will do things like create a stable network that autonomous vehicles that need constant, accurate, high-level network connectivity so they can constantly share data back and forth mm-hmm. so they're making real-time.
Very detailed. Thousands right. of times more detailed than
exactly.
they have now.
Exactly. Stable, constant. It's going to underpin a lot of economic development. So
medicine,
I try to remind people, right, 5G is so much broader than just phone service. So as you think about something that's going to be so foundational to the future, I do think there's a need for us to step back and ask, so what are the economic competitiveness and the national security implications of something so foundational? Ro, I apologize. I interrupted you.
No, well, the 5G, right now there are people saying, oh, we've got 5G LTE. That is a marketing label.
Right.
That is not what we're talking about here in terms
it's
of not, 5G.
Yeah, it's nowhere near where it's going to be.
Correct, because remember, 5G is both the technology from the provider and the infrastructure, mm-hmm. it's also reflected in a unique device. There's 5G technology that actually goes into the phone itself,
right.
for example, which is why you're seeing companies marketing
yep,
5G
do.
And 5G compatible or five, you know, another get around as well. It's a 5G LTE,
right.
which is a little bit of a hybrid.
Yeah. So that real 5G will be starting, we think, next year. Will
right. You'll see it in, and you're already seeing in some areas of the United States. The Department of Defense, for example, just announced we selected five bases where we're going to test 5G within the military structure. So 2020 is going to be a pretty significant year.
You have a totally separate.
No, the days where the government, broadly speaking, there are mm-hmm. some areas where this is true, but broadly, the days where the government created its own infrastructure, hey, we came to the decision decades ago, we need to be efficient, we need to save money, we need to take advantage of all this capability.
That does not make me feel better, Mike.
So our water, our power, our rail lines, in some cases, not all, in some cases, some of the communications backbone is infrastructure that all elements of our society use, and not just the DOD.
Okay. All right. Well, I quit as an American then, because I'm worried about that.
Get a flip phone.
I know. Well, I always like to think of that. That's the thing that's going to save us here. And I'm glad that the military has as much, and DOD, I should say, mm-hmm. has as much of a foot in the door in this, because we can't just leave it up to all the private actors here. Because you just never know.
Right. In the long run, the right answer, I believe, mm-hmm. is we have got to have a very different model where the government and the private sector are working closer together on this. Because it's so foundational in terms of where it is in our lives, whether yeah. it's business or people. It's beyond the scale of individual companies, for example, to me, to withstand the efforts of a nation state like a China or a Russia. By the same token, it is unrealistic to go to the government and say, so protect every private business, protect every company and you're going without cooperation, without support, without partnership, that's not a good model. So I just think we've got to take a little different approach here.
All right. There's a summit tomorrow, and Admiral Mike Rogers is going to be there. It's the Policy Circle's fourth annual leadership summit, thepolicycircle.org. If people are interested in this organization, or there might even be an opportunity to attend some of these events that are coming up the next couple of days. It's at Venue 610. That's at 610 South Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And you're going to be there tomorrow. We're actually going to make a witch's brew of stuff for your throat, so you're going
to
be just
outstanding. I apologize to the audience for my throat.
We have an entire system of people back there that do nothing but keep our throats working, which is, yeah, thank God. It's been an honor. Thank you so much for your service to the United States and for your son's service, who's back here right now.
Thanks.
And all of that. So we appreciate everything that you have done. And thank you. And go Navy.
Thank you.
Beat Army. All right.
Go Bears.
well, go it Bears. Might be a little too late for that, Admiral. I don't want to talk about it.